Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Allen Foundation's Unheard Voices. I'm your host, Pam Price. Thank you for staying and tuning in to the second half of It's All About the Ladies. And I'm really, really excited about these phenomenal ladies that are coming on and just sharing their stories and being a part of what Ellen Foundation is putting out there to allow ladies to be themselves and let them know that they are not alone in whatever they're going through. So today, this evening, my guest, she's no stranger to Unheard Voices, and this lady has such a phenomenal story. She is right now working in the mental health field, and she is just putting out there doing the research and helping ladies who are in need. So my guest is Miss Mary Joyner. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
So Mary, I am I'm really honored that I'm really excited about this time now, because you and I have had quite a few times we've talked about the visions and things that you're working on and where you're going. I know you are almost finishing school, which is kudos, which is phenomenal when you're raising a family as well. So, So, and with this, I'm really excited about just having the conversation as to where you are now versus where you were when you first came on to the show. So first, let me just say, family, if you have any questions and you want to talk, reach out to the speaker, please feel free to dial in at 914-219-0892. Again, 914-219-0892. So, Mary, I am going to step aside, and I'm going to let you introduce and share what you're doing, and if you don't mind, also share your story, and then we're going to come back around and talk about some things that you're doing. So, again, welcome, and thank you so much for taking time out to be on this call.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate, like you said, I've been on the show before, and that was very, very exciting, and I appreciate you having me back again. So I'm just going to jump in a little. I know you introduced me, but I'm just going to, you know, briefly, just for everybody to kind of just give them a little overview about myself so people can kind of get to know me a little. So, as she said, my name is Mary. I am living in Delaware. I was born and raised in Delaware. I'm pretty much a country girl. I am married with four children that keep me extremely busy. Like she said, I'm also in the mental health field, and I really, really enjoy that. I'm actually a mental health recovery coach, and that's just dealing with supporting people that have challenges with mental health. And I also volunteer for NAMI, which is National Alliance for Mental Illnesses, and it's pretty much doing the same thing. Let's get into what have I been working on. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're working on so many different things. So, I'm excited to hear. How about this? Let's first share your story and how you got to develop and why you felt it was important for you to do what you do now. So let's start with your
fine. Okay. Well, for starters, I am a incest survivor. from the age of, I'm sorry, guys, if I'm crying. Sometimes I get emotional telling my story. But anyway, like I said, I'm a survivor.
I was crying on the other one, too, so don't feel bad.
I am a survivor of incest from the age of 14 to 19. I had an incestuous relationship with my biological father up until I got married, actually. I think for a lot of people, sometimes I'm not as discouraged as I used to when I first shared my story, but a lot of people judged me, like when I first started sharing my story. But I don't think that people understand that, you know, someone can have that much power, you know, over you. And it's, I even had a couple of people say, like, I must have liked it or I enjoyed it. And I think that people judge. So I've, I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better with sharing my story than I used to. I'm a lot more comfortable. And I know that it's just a part of my healing process. Let's see. So I'm just a brief overview. I was adopted, just to kind of shed light on how I, you know, biological and 14. And, you know, so I was adopted at the age of 10 months old. So when I was adopted, just to kind of speed along, in my adopted home, I was also being abused, sexually abused. And I left that home because I knew that I was adopted. I had met my biological mother at the age of 10, but due to the circumstances that she was going through, she couldn't take me. I wanted to be with her, but she couldn't take me. So I met my biological father at 14. And I thought, you know, that this was going to be a new change. I was finally going to have a family that loved me. I was going to finally have a father that, you know, I dreamed about, and a mother that really cared about me, because I felt like my adopted family didn't care about me. I would say, you know, for the most part, after living with my father, it literally started happening right after I started living with him. The thing I think that it's misconstrued a lot with people that experience incest is that the way I looked at my father in the beginning was like a man. And the reason why I say this is when I was already sexually active, I was already, you know, having sex. So I looked, and in the previous situations that I was in, even at, you know, from the age on up, it was guys that really were just using me for sex. And even at that young age, so I looked at it as a man that was, you know, doing all these nice things for me. And I mean, granted, that was my father, but that's not the way I looked at it. I looked at him as a man. So like I said, this started happening right after I started living with my dad and my stepmom. And for the most part, we were a normal family. I mean, we went to church every Sunday. He played the keyboard. We went on family trips. You know, nothing was abnormal except the things that were happening to me at home. And that actually right. kind of brings me to, you know, why I want to do some of the things that I'm, you know, trying to do as far as, you know, awareness, as far as this, you know, the relationship that I had with my father.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So let me ask you, I'm so sorry here. My throat is a little parched. So if I sound a little parched, please accept my apologies here. So how were you able to finally come out of that situation that you were in, you know, the incest, and how were you able to just come out?
To be honest with you, and I'm also trying, I like I said, I have so many projects going on. I'm actually writing a book about my life, but actually that is a part of my journey and that is a part of my story. I really didn't come out. And what I mean by that is I got married. Like my husband was my hero, but in the interim of that, it was like running away. I got married over top of that. No healing. I just wanted to get away from that, because on top of that, there was like the physical, you know, in the beginning, because I didn't really understand what was going on more so, I was okay with it. And like I said, I saw him as a man, but as time went on, this is my dad. This is yuck. Like, you don't do this. This, you know, as I came to and matured, I wanted it to stop. But when he didn't want it to stop, like he would abuse me. It was like I was his woman more than his daughter. And that's how I got treated, you know. So I got married. That's how I got out of it. And the unfortunate part is, I brought that into a marriage. I brought all that unhealing, all that brokenness, all that just that filth, how I felt about myself, I brought that into a marriage. So that's the really unfortunate part about, you know, getting out of it, but not really getting out of it, because I was just running away, and I ran away, and I ran to a man, which it worked out, and I'm blessed, and I have an awesome husband, but I'm just, you know, getting to the point of that's how I got out of it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And it didn't allow you time to heal. So right now you are healing in your marriage.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Have been for a while. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. How do your children, and I'm sure your children know the story. How do your children, how did this affect your children?
To be honest with you, my children don't know. I couldn't, because once again, that was that healing part of myself that as a mother, you know, I try to protect them, even though I know now that as a woman and older, that that wasn't my fault. I still looked at myself as this yucky person. I still looked at myself as this horrible person. So I was ashamed to tell my kids. And to be honest with you, I have not told them, because I was in therapy and I wanted to try to figure out the best way to disclose this information, you know, so I have not honestly told them yet. No, ma'am.
It's all good. But what I love, and I've shared this with you before and with the previous speakers and the family that follow Unheard Voices, I love the fact that God will take ashes, the brokenness, the heartache, the ugliness, and he turns it to beauty. And through the journey, what I found is that, and not just with myself, but in just in listening to the speakers and just also with women that I've worked with, is that the best part is when God steps in and he turns to you and he loves on you in places that you never knew that you would be able to love yourself.
Exactly.
And that's,
exactly.
And that's so exciting. And I love that through with the speakers that are on and with most people who are in ministry or on a journey, you know, that there's got to be something better, that it stems from something that has happened in our lives where you take it and then you want to turn around and be a voice to help other people. You want to be a voice where, you know, you don't want others to go through what you've gone through, be it lack of knowledge or being, hey, I don't know how to get out of this. So let's kind of fast forward and talk about your projects that you're working on.
Okay. Well, it's so crazy that you mentioned, you know, ashes and beauty and brokenness, because I'm in the beginning stages of my nonprofit, and that is actually the name of my nonprofit. It is called Beauty for Ashes. And what that symbolizes to me is that you can come from anywhere, you know, like myself. I came from brokenness, I came from sadness, darkness, to now, to me, like this blossom, this flower that has blossomed and is just ready for the world. And my nonprofit is going to be, I'm not necessarily singling anyone out, but I just feel like everybody has a ministry, and my connection seems to be with at-risk teens. And I think for me, I'm so focused on that area, because in my area, in my community, there's not a lot of youth programs and youth groups for teenagers. And one of the things for myself is I feel like if I had somebody to talk to that I could trust, maybe I would have shared. Maybe it wouldn't have went on so long. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I was acting out in school. I was running away. I was skipping. And it's like no one took, you know, I myself, if my kids were acting out, when they do, I automatically want to talk to them. What's wrong? Or is everything okay in school?
Yeah,
no one did that. Exactly. I remember my father, as a matter of fact, went to a meeting, and I felt so disgusted because I was like, how dare you sit here with these people? And they called me, like, because I was running away, I was fighting, they called me a ticking bomb waiting to explode. And I'm thinking, like, but you don't know what I'm going through, you know, at this meeting. And I was that young girl. I was that young girl that, you know, that I want to reach out to. I want to shed light to them. I want to not necessarily be their hero, but to let them know that, you know, whatever it is, God can heal that. And you don't have to be broken forever. And you can, you know, heal from this. And if you put the work in, you will heal from this. And I just want to be that light. You know, I guess for me, I needed that light. I went to a counselor as a teenager, and she even kind of said to me, well, could it be, you know, that you kind of liked it? Even when I shared, and even with reporting this, she never reported it, never reported it. So I know that I'm not the only person, I'm not the only victim of this, and it happens so much. And unfortunately, especially with, you know, people of color, and it's this whole stigma of, like, mental illness, it's a stigma, you know, what stays in your house? I mean, what goes on in a house stays on a house. And it's time out for that. It's time for people to speak out, because I've did so much research on incest and the people that, you know, I've went through this and for years and years and years never talked about it. And that's me, because I never talked about it and I never healed. It ate at my soul. It ate everything. It affected me as a wife. It affected me as being a mother. I mean, it affected me sexually. It just affected my life, because I didn't have that light. And I just, you know, my nonprofit organization, I just want to be that light for somebody. I don't want, you know, if I can help any other youth to go through what I had to go through. I want them to know that there is somebody to talk to. This can be your safe haven. This can be your safe space. You know, I perhaps I can't, you know, protect you from certain things, but there are certain things I can protect you from. You know what I mean? It's just, I want to be that light that nobody was for me, if that makes sense.
No, it does make a lot of sense. And, you know, and I'm listening to you, and it's like, wow. Because I remember, like, when you were just shaping this and how you were just trying to figure out how to do this. And now, and that was a long time ago when you first started shaping this, when we talked about it. And now to hear, just like, wow, I'm just like amazed, and I'm truly, mm-hmm. truly excited that your purpose is going to touch so many people's lives. It's amazing, and I'm so glad to see, you know, that here it is. It's here. Like, it's taking so much shape. It's taking the form in which, you know, gosh, what was it, almost a year ago, you weren't certain what the form was going to look like. You always knew.
Exactly.
But now to see how it's shaped and how it's going to be formed. So I applaud you for not giving up. I applaud you for, you know, to allow God to use this pain, these things in which you've struggled with, and that you are, you know, going to God about and getting the help that you need, and you're taking mm-hmm. it and you're turning it around and to be a resource for people to begin the healing. So I do have a question now. I know you mentioned that you haven't talked to your family, your children about this, but mm-hmm. have you thought about how do you prepare I'm just trying to figure out the correct way to ask the question. Have you sat down and talked to your children about incest or domestic violence and things that way without moving into an area that you're not ready to move in? Like, have you had, like, you know, people of color have to have their talk to, you know, their kids.
Exactly.
Their kids. That's
exactly.
Just
exactly.
So, right. So, and you know, have you had this conversation, you know, with your daughters to say, hey, you know, if this happens, domestic violence, you know, what to do? Have you had that talk with them yet?
Yes, I have had it with my daughters and my sons, I've had, you know, even down to my 10-year-old, I have the, it's called the no-no place talk for her, you know, because it kind of relates to her what her no-no places are. I have her show me what her no-no places are, and people shouldn't be touching those places, mommy or daddy, you know, unless mommy's giving you a bath. I've talked to my sons, I mean, because that's the unfortunate part. You know, it used to be just little girls. That's all we used to think about. But this is happening to little boys. I mean, this is molestation. I mean, in the homes or just family members or just even people they know, this is happening to boys. I mean, just as much as it's happening to little girls. So I talked to my sons, and yes, I've had that. And I'm very, as much as I'm uncomfortable sharing the other parts, I'm very open to talk about that, because I need to know as a mother that they're okay. I need to know that I'm doing everything that I can do to keep them safe. And I need them to know that no matter who it is, it's not okay. And I need you to tell me. And I've had discussions with them where I've asked them, like, has anyone ever did this to you? And I'm very detailed with that, because I know what I went through. I know what I needed. I needed someone to ask me the questions that I ask people that I work with, that I ask my children. So, yes, I'm very – when it comes to that, that's something I don't play with. No, I do that often, actually.
What are the questions that, you know, for the listeners out here who do have children in the home or know of someone that has, like, this may be happening but they're not sure, can you share – some of the questions in which you put out there, let's say, you know, to prepare the children if these things happen, or and also if someone suspects these things that are happening, what are the questions that you ask then? Because I know you have to present it differently.
Exactly. Well, like you said, one of the key points that you mentioned is if you suspect. I'm a faith believer and strong believer that, you know, maybe you are wrong, but normally your gut is right. And what I mean by that is, you know, pay attention to signs. If, I mean, this can be a professional, this can be a teacher, this can be family, anybody. Pay attention to signs. And I, when I answer questions like this, I can only relate it to myself. I was acting out, and that's the negative thing. So many times, you know, teenagers act out. Oh, she's seeking attention. Oh, you know, she's just, you know, they, back in the day, they called it fast in the tail, whatever that means. You know, she's hot.
You sound
in the tail,
like a,
you know,
you sound like an old head there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but the sad thing is that's what people said about me. Like, oh, you know, she's this, not knowing that these things were happening to me. But I would say, as far as asking the questions, definitely want to be comfortable. I can honestly say that even with my own kids, sometimes it's not the easiest to ask these questions, because they're looking at me like, Mom, why are you asking me these questions? But the questions have to be asked. But I think that the only thing I can say is, depending on the relationship that you have, you know, you have to gradually this, because sometimes you can ask the wrong question and you shut someone down. So I think it's more of a trying to feeling for, if that makes sense, feeling the conversation and kind of going with, you know, how I never encourage anyone to, just because they suspect something, sometimes they're not ready to talk about it. And if someone's not ready to talk about it and you keep trying to push them, all they're going to do is shut down, and you may not never get it. So even if you're suspecting something like this, obviously, you know, depending on how severe it is reported, obviously, that's, you know, that's your job. But even if it's like a family member and it's not necessarily, it's just something that you may think, I think just gradually kind of introduce the question, but more of, has this, you know, or sometimes you can even give examples for a child. It's easier to give, like, you know, has, you know, maybe related to something that's relatable. A teenager is just, you know, I think it's just depends, if that makes sense. It depends on the relationship, but never, you know, never try to make, never force anyone to talk about something, you know, until they're ready to talk about it. Because I know for me, it took me years to actually talk. I mean, prior to this, I just held it in. I didn't even tell. When I started my journey, which was about a year ago, is when I actually told my husband. After all these years, he knew something was wrong, and I would have crying spells, and I would sometimes have nightmares and certain things that, you know, that I didn't like feels. And then I have seasonal depression around October, because that's when it started, smells and stuff. But I never talked to him about it. And we even went to therapy. Mm-hmm. He said he never knew the right questions to ask, but he thought something may have happened because of the way I asked when I'm around my father. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does, because, you know, it's just like when you're working with survivors of domestic violence and or persons who are in a domestic violence situation, it's like anything. If they're not ready to talk about it, they're not going to talk. But it's important that when you suspect, that you don't want them to feel that, you know, what they're doing is their fault, or, you know, they're
exactly.
the one. And, you know, and as someone who has worked with survivors of domestic violence, and I'm sure it's the same, you know, as when you do your counseling, is that you have to let them know that you are, this is a no judgment zone, and you are free to reach out to me if you have any questions, and we can figure it out together, something
yes.
along that line. Yeah. So now your dad's still alive, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
How is that now with you and your dad?
It's very awkward. I'm sociable. I don't trust very easily, especially around my children. But he's apologized, I mean, several times. But I was telling my husband a couple of weeks ago, I need to tell, and I even told my therapist this, and then that, you know, that goes on to something, this is a whole nother discussion, and I'm just going to mention this, being okay, you know, I know you've heard this, sometimes you have to be okay with an apology that you never get. And even though I got an apology, I need my father to know the damage. You know, I don't consider myself damaged. I don't consider that at all, not anymore. But my dad did damage to me. The brokenness that I had inside was because of him and what he did and what he took from me. And I've never been able to tell him that, because I've tried to have conversations with him and he shuts down and he doesn't want to talk about it. So I have to be okay. Mm-hmm. Then I get upset, and then it just makes the situation worse. So sometimes you just have to be okay mm-hmm. with the conversations that you're never going to have. So my healing had to start. And that's really when I started healing, when I realized I'll never get that day. I want to sit in front of him, and I need him to know what you've done. Like, you can't just, I was angry. Like, you can't just move on with your life. Like, oh, I'm sorry this happened, but I'm still dealing with all this. So it's awkward at times. I see him, but it's a healing process, because I'm trying to be in a forgiving stages. Some people often ask, you know, and then that's the times I just have to disregard what people say. Some people say, well, you know, well, did it really happen? Because if all that happened to me, people are quick to judge, you know, unless you are in that situation. And you know, one of the things is, like I mentioned when I first started talking about this, I didn't have anybody, nobody. My mother, I didn't have, my stepmother, I believe, and I'll believe this till the day I die, she hated me. My stepmother hated me, and to this day she still hates my guts. And I think she hated me because she saw me as a woman. I was a teenage woman living in her home, and she knew that this was happening. She knew it, and that's why she couldn't stand me. And I didn't have anybody I could talk to. And I couldn't go back to my adopted home, you know, where I came from. So it was like and then he would manipulate me and tell me stuff like that, Luol, you know, you don't have anywhere to go. And in reality, where was I going to go? Back to the guys that I slept with that treated me like scum, you know? So if that's all you have, that's power. I mean, believe it or not, that's power when you don't feel like you have anybody else to go to or anywhere else to go. So you just, you deal with it. You have your good days and your bad days.
Right. Yeah. Well, I am so glad that, you know, that the healing is happening, and that I know when we talked about this last time, both you and I were in the studio, and we're boohooing to death as you're sharing, and just to see the strength, you know, that you have, it's amazing. So I want to applaud you too, because
Thank you.
See your journey. I see where. You know, when we first started to, you know, connect and through our conversations and things like that, into where you are now. And I hear it in your voice. It's just like how strong you are. And, you know, they, you know, those days were, you know, you were getting hit with everything possible to knock you out. But here you are.
Yes.
You stand strong. You stand strong. And you are able to, by God's grace, yes. And you stand here strong enough to share your story and then in turn to be able to help others who are who may be going through the same thing. So I applaud you for never giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
important
mm-hmm.
that, you know, as we go through our things that we never give up. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm excited about October, because we were talking about October earlier,
exactly.
Our August 15th Women's Conference. And and family, you can hear by the story why she was also selected to be one of the speakers. And as you know, the name of the conference is When God Remembers. And last year, Mary was a participant in the women's conference, and you know, and last year we totaled out just over 150 women after everything was done that was in attendance. So Mary, I'm going to ask for you to share what that experience was, sitting and listening to the speakers and just being a part of the conference.
Okay. Well, I can honestly say, and I know you remember, that day that I went there, because like you just mentioned, you know my story, you know, more in depth and even
yeah.
the things that were going on in my marriage and everything, and you know all of that. So with that being said, like you said, I was being hit. I mean, it just felt like I just kept being knocked down. When I feel like I get up, something else would knock me down. And that day I had something else going on in my life, and I felt so broken. I mean, I just felt so hurt. And I remember, oh my God, I'm a big crybaby. Anyway, I remember going, I remember that was the altar. I remember going up there, and I think her name is Pastor Rebecca, or I don't remember. I think her name was Rebecca. I think that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
But I know who the minister. Okay, she laid her hands on me, and it was almost as if God was just confirming, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to survive. You know, once again, you're going to survive. And I cried my heart out. I cried my eyes out. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, the devil, he gets to talking like, oh, this is embarrassing. Don't go up there. This is a conference, you know. But I let go and I let God, and I went up there and I got prayer. And when she laid her hands on me, I just felt like a relief. I just felt
mm-hmm.
like a connection. And I just felt like, you know, like I said, like God just kind of reminded me, you know, you're okay. You survived worse things than this. Trust me, and related it back to situations that I've been through. And when I left, because we talked after, and I just felt so calm. You know, I still was going through the things that I was going through, but I just had a calming spirit. I went there so discouraged, and when I left, I tell you, I even did a little interview at the end. You know, they were talking to people.
Yeah,
video,
yeah.
And and one of the things that I said was, you know, this conference was so amazing, and I came and I came one way and I left another, and that's truly what I can say about that. You know, when you go to something like that in the power of God. I mean, because, you know, sometimes you can go to conferences and it's, you know, you have speakers, but it's just, it's the platform of just a conference. But when you have church at a conference, then that's a conference to me. So to have that feeling and to go one way and come another, I left feeling rejuvenated. I left feeling calm and at peace, and just, I felt that my spirit was filled. I mean, it was filled up. My spirit was just filled. You know, you come, it's kind of like, you know, you come into it. I just felt so filled up when I left. And it was I wrote, because I had I drove all the way there and I had a long way. And I remember just listening to music, and I just felt so calm. I just had the most calming spirit when I left.
Amen.
It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. I talked about it for days. So it was amazing.
Amen. So now this year, because I know your journey and I know where you are, and as I said earlier, to see how strong you stand, regardless of how many things try to knock you down. So this year you come back as a speaker. How do you feel about that?
I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous. I think my first reaction is nervous. I'm nervous, but I'm humbled. I'm humbled. I have gratitude. I mean, that you, for me, the unworthiness that I feel like, I mean, I get it, you know, that my story is, you know, it's a sad story and everything, and it's the story of a survivor. But it's amazing to be on a platform, like you said. I mean, if you pick them, I know these women are dynamic. I know one of the ladies, you know. So if you pick them, I already know this is going to be awesome. So, you know, so to be a part of something like that, it's just, it's very humble. It's amazing, and it's the honoring position to be in. But most of all, just to me, I hope for myself and when I leave, but, you know, I hope that I present. I can only share. I mean, I can only talk about myself. I hope that when people look at me and when they hear my story, that they see a survivor. They don't, you know, I don't want to be seen as a victim anymore. I don't want to be seen as broken anymore, because I don't claim that. I don't claim that. And I want, you know, people to, and the whole thing is pretty much a showcase of survivors. And that's what's so amazing about it. And the whole thing of, you know, what it, you know, the whole title of it, When God Remembers. I mean, how many times have we been through things? And I remember laying in my husband's arms one day, and I just was going through, you know, my seasonal depression. And I remember, and sometimes this is how you feel, like you said, when God remembers. And it's so amazing, because I remember laying in his arm one day, and I said to him, and I was just crying and crying and crying, and I said, how can I love a God that says he loves me so much, but would allow me to hurt and be so in so much pain? That's what I told him. And my husband's a minister, and I said that, how can I love a God like that supposedly loves me so much? But that was my doubt. That was my doubt. And that's what the devil does. That's your doubt.
That's right.
In situations where you think that, you know, you pray, and I've even been in situations where I've done wrong. So I say, like, you know, I know God, you know, that I know they talk about him here in a sinner's prayer, but the Bible says that, you know, that God reigns on the just and the unjust. And there have been times when I'm still the unjust at many times in my life, because I am far from perfect. But God is a forgiving God, and he's such a gracious God. He's not like me. You know, he's not like man. Man judge, like, you know, man judges you when he sees what you've done or what you do still. You know, but God's not like that. He's a forgiving God. And when I think about, you know, like you said, when God remembers, it's just so profound, because he does. And we have to remind ourselves of that, because sometimes we forget. I know I do. I forget that, you know, God remembers. He remembers you. Like, you know, Tasha Cobbs has a song, He knows my name. And that is, when I hear that song, I just cry. And that just, it resonates with this conference, When God Remembers, because just the mere fact that he knows my name, you know, he knows my name, and I'm special to him. You're special to him. You know, we're all special to him. And to be a part of this, I'm just hoping that when someone mentions my name in the whole thing or whatever, and if they get nothing else, that, you know, you can survive. You can make it with God's grace. And if you give it to him, and that's the thing I had to learn. Sometimes you got to give it to him, you know, let go and let God. Because we give it to him, and we quickly take it away. But if you give God something, you have to know with faith that he'll work it out. And I am a living testimony of that. You hear what I say? I'm a living testimony that you can go through hell and come out this, you know, not perfect flower. I'm still, my edge is a little bent, but you can come out pretty much like my nonprofit, Beauty. He gave me beauty for ashes, you know, and I can be a better mother. I can look at my husband and realize that he's a better father than I ever had. And I have all those things. So I know I said a whole lot to, I hope I answered
but you did. You actually covered the next question that I was going to ask. What did when God remembers mean to you? But, you know, and as you were speaking, and I was sitting here, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like such a proud mama, you know, to hear you. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we as servants of God, we are supposed to be there to support each other And I'm, you know, look, I'm the first to admit I don't get it right all the time, and I'll fail you just as quick as the next person. But the goal is to continue to uplift and continue to pour in so, you know, we can help take that next step, so we can help take and continue to go on, go on, go on. And just to hear you, I'm telling you, I was, you know, while you were just talking, I was like, oh my gosh, you feel like such a pro mama. Listen to her, you know. And I know, but I'm so truly excited that that you are going to be on this platform. And you know, I really wish that this was in person, but you know what? Virtual is safe. Virtual is good because we can act just as crazy virtually, and we don't have to have on our high heel shoes either. So we can just come and, you know, be ourselves. And
that's right.
And as you know. You know, what God has laid on my heart is that, you know, the donations that portion of the donations that are received from this women's conference, we're going to turn around and put it back into sales, which is the Deja Smiley's organization. And I'm really, really excited because that her organization helps women or families who have lost infants, you know, through stillborn death. And it's her story has me in tears. I don't know who's worse, yours or Sadisha's story. But I think it's so phenomenal how you both have come through that fire, how you both have stood up, and now you are women on a mission. So I applaud you through that. Mary, if someone wants to continue this conversation with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and on Facebook, my name is simply Mary Joyner, and I'm going to spell that out, which is M-A-R-Y. My last name is spelled J-O-Y-N-E-R. And then my name on Instagram is Beautifully Made For, and the beautifully is with two L's, and it is Beautifully Made, M-A-D-E, underscore, the number four. So once again, it's Beautifully spelled with two L's, Made, M-A-D-E, underscore, number four.
Oh, okay. I thought your IG was different in your marriage. So I got to make sure I update my stuff, too, because I had different contacts for you on there. So I'm really excited. And so, family, please go out to our website, which is www.mfoundation.org. Register to be a part of this event. You've met almost all of our speakers. We have one more coming up next week. And these women are going to, they share their stories, and you'll have a chance to really sit down and ask them all questions. So please go to the website or go to Eventbrite/Life Ministry Foundation and register. And also you can make a donation because we want to make sure we put the support out into organizations that are as well doing the work. So lovely, I can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
Me too. And I wanted to say, just real quick, I wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what you've been to me more than just someone helping me, you know, a supporter, more than a mentor to me. I know that, you know, some people, they tell you, like, if you ever need someone to talk to, and then when you really need them, they're not there. I can never say that about
right.
you. I just want to say thank you because you are part of this
Aww.
Growth that you see. You are part of this strength that you see because you believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself. When I first met you, I was broken. I mean, I was hurting and I was in pain, and you believed in me and you made me see something that I didn't see in the beginning, you know. And I'm not perfect. God knows I'm nowhere near. I'm still a work in progress, but hey, I am. I thank God every single day because, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm surely not where I was at one time. So, and I know that where I'm meant to be, I'll get there when I'm meant to be there. So I'm okay with that.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to walk this journey together. So I
Amen.
Appreciate you. Give your social media handles again.
Okay. On Facebook, I am Mary Joyner, and my last name, Mary is spelled regular, M-A-R-Y, Joyner is spelled J-O-Y-N-E-R. My Instagram is Beautifully Made, and it's spelled the word beautifully with two L's, M-A-D-E for made, underscore, and the number four. And the number four means my kids. I made four beautiful children, so Beautifully Made Four.
Amen. I like that. I like that. So
thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. And
thank
I
you guys
can't
for
wait to
listening to my story.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you graduate. Go ahead, girl. You're almost
thank
done.
You.
And,
Amen.
Thank
finally.
You.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Tuning, family for tuning in and joining the show. I appreciate you guys for always allowing Ellen Foundation Unhurt Voices to be a platform to just really talk about some real issues, which and not only talk about real issues, but also talk about how you can come out and how you can begin your healing journey. So thank you so much, Miss Mary. God bless you.
Yes,
best
yes.
to the family,
God bless you.
And you and I will be in touch. And like I said, I feel like such a proud mama. Yay!
You said. Kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Continue to be blessed. God bless you and your family.
You.
Be safe
thank
out
you.
There. And
yes, thank
family,
you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. And you take care, Mary. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Good night, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye now.